Welcome, Melat Negussi and Ellen de Bien. You are directing the Beurs Schouwburg, which is, like Eric, in the Brussels ecosystem, an important institution for young artists. And I think maybe we start with that the policy on renewal, new ways of running the institution and also reaching out to new publics is very central in your policies. Maybe we start a little bit with talking about that.
Hello, everyone. Nice to see you. So Ellen and I started at Beurs Schouwburg almost simultaneously in September 2020, which was a very nice time to start a new job in. And I think Beurs Schouwburg, as Catherine said, had a reputation of being a very... Ooh, I can hear myself.
Yeah, this is a pity because it's the system is like that. So try to...
And without the mic, can you still hear me or do you prefer with the mic? Okay. I'll try to zone out the echo. So, yeah, Beurs Schouwburg already had a reputation of being a very free-spirited, open, experimental house for upcoming artists, for young people. So we had quite a nice legacy to build from and to build on. So that was the sort of external image. Internal, this was something that the people that worked there also incorporated, also embodied. But we noticed that... Yeah, there were still a few things that we sort of had to figure out for ourselves. How does this organization tick? How horizontal are the structures? Where do people expect to take, on what level are decisions made? Are we still in tune with our mission and vision? So these were a couple of questions that we sort of had to deal with pretty much in the first weeks and months, because we also had a new plan to write. So on the Dutch side or on the Flemish side, there was a deadline, you know, for the new beleidsplan that we had to write. So we had to sort of figure out with this team what we were going to do for the next 5 years and what kind of an organization we wanted to be. So the last 2 years, that's what we did. We had in-depth conversations with the team. We rewrote our mission, we rewrote our vision, because even though we had quite a strong reputation and quite a strong image, the city has changed over the past 5 years, and certain issues and certain breuklijnen, certain fault lines became more sharp. That had to do with the pandemic. It had to do with a lot of societal changes, Black Lives Matter, a lot of feminist issues that came on the foreground. So there was a sense of urgency that we felt as a team that we wanted to also translate in our mission and vision. And one of the few, or one of the things that we did was also change our residency program. So Beurs Schouwburg always has had residency artists, associated artists that they sort of reached out to through invitation. So the programmers invited artists that they found interesting to collaborate with the institution. And so back in the day, these associated artists, we had 5 associated artists, they would get financial support from the institution. And if they wanted to do something in the program, that was also an option. But the sort of modalities of this relationship were never clear. The associated artists of Beurs Schouwburg, they were very grateful that they were associated artists, but they didn't know, like, what is this relationship? What can I ask? What not? So this very awkward position that you hear a lot with artists that are residents at a house that they don't know what it means. So that's one of the changes we made, was actually... reshape our residency program. It's no longer through invitation, but we launched an open call. And we have a very clear idea what we want to do with our associated artists. And they know now what support that they can get from us. It's not only financial support, it's not only an envelope, but no, we have a very tailored residency program where each programmer follows an artist quite closely. We give dramaturgical support, and if they want to write a dossier to ask for more funding, we help them with that as well. We give them logistical support, and we made an entire new network of organizations that we feel close to in Brussels called the Constellation. I can talk more about that later, to help these five associated artists that we have in their artistic trajectory as well. So yeah, I think just to summarize, get a bit sharper on what our mission and vision and our place in the city is, and also make the relationship to our associated artists more clear, and manage expectations, because a lot of misunderstandings are coming from not knowing what to expect from each other.
Mm-hmm. Does it also mean, sorry, my mic, does it also mean that you take more time for people? Because it feels like an intense exchange. And maybe also to Ellen, because you are basically responsible for the less nicer parts. Well, maybe. Okay, good. That's good. Maybe you can react to that. But getting that in the existing kind of blueprint of how we function administrationally is a challenge, I guess. But you've found solutions. I guess it's also has also to do with your collaboration, or how do you approach that as a.
So more question to me then?
Yeah.
I think in my position, yeah, you're very much responsible to try to translate what is the mission, what do we want to do, what is the program, where are we going to, what do we do in our hospitality, what do we do with ticket prices and all these kind of things. And when we were working and preparing the dossier, het beleidsplan, we did indeed, like, the whole topic of, or the whole idea of fair practice and fair pay, and what actually is that? What is that? Yeah. So we very much also went to, with the whole team also looking into, okay, yes, this, yes, what kind of information is there now available? What are these main topics within fair pay, fair practice? And then we also started, like, really calculate when we're talking about we have the different disciplines, for example, in Beurschouwburg, and it was also very known, for example, for audiovisual arts that they're were hanging behind. So then we try to make like the whole frame. Okay, what do we see as preparation time? What could that be? How much do you have to calculate? And talking also with the artists we were working at that specific moment. So I must say that I think also for a lot of people in the house, this kind of trajectory is a big eye opener, because you often in an organization, a presenting organization, an art center as Beurschouwburg is. Mm-hmm. We work with budgets, and everyone is responsible for a part of the budget, and then you start your program, and then you divide the budget, and then can you do it for this and can you do it for that? But that's not the calculation behind it, of course. So this whole sharing knowledge, how can we calculate, how do we have to calculate, and it also depends very much on who are you dealing with? Is it an artist within a company, or is it an individual artist and dealing with one-to-one contacts? Or, yeah, all these situations are pretty different, and it's also important that the people programming, I speak for Beurschouwburg, that they know very well what are the things to check, what do we have to ask, and how do we translate this then in what we find a fair agreement.
Because we looked, well, this morning we talked about the financial, the way that the Juan Grupa asked the Documenta to basically share their whole pot of money so they could divide it, and artists were asked to divide it themselves. Would that be in the given constellations also of the regulations that you have to function in, would that be an option, like possible option for you too, that you really give away the responsibility to artists for that, or how do you see that?
I mean, In the past, we've worked with collectives that then invite artists. Yeah. And so we give the collective money and they divide it amongst the artists that they...
No, but the basic idea of turning responsibilities around in that sense, right?
We do that, but in the past, so we don't mind giving responsibility to a collective that then hands out the money, but there's also a responsibility as a house that you have that the fair pay and fair practice, rules are being applied. So you do want to have a bit of a check, like, okay, are the artists eventually getting a fair sum? You know, so it's always finding a balance between, yes, we want to empower the collective and give them a bag of money to say, but you want to also ensure that the artists on the ground are getting a fair price. So that's a conversation you have.
Yeah. And how do you deal, because that was another issue that we were talking about this morning, with like the flexibility of things. Like, of course, if you plan from ABC, then you know exactly what will happen and you know exactly how to divide also things. But there's also this tendency of wanting to go with the flow, to react to flexible ways that people have their own choice or own ways of going. How much flexibility as an institution can you offer there in the given circumstances? And is this the idea of the constellation? Does it have to do with this, the constellation? Is this expansion towards other institutions? How is that related maybe to a sort of flexibility of going out of your own premises?
Mm-hmm. So with regards to the constellation?
Yeah,
maybe I can talk a bit about that. So we have our associated artists, but they're not only supported by Beurschapburg, but also by this network that we formed called the Constellation. And in the Constellation, you have Level 5, Baltar, Argos, Cinema, Volta, and Heroes. So it's a network that brings together organizations that wouldn't necessarily know about each other or would cross each other in the field because they work in different facets and disciplines. So like Heroes didn't know Level 5 or Level 5 didn't know who Baltar was.
We have to say a little bit what Level 5 is. So Level 5, for not everybody knows it here, probably, is an art...
Artist-run organization that gives workspace to visual artists, mostly. They used to be in Actiris, and now they're in three sites in Brussels. And then Heroes is a management bureau, mostly for performing artists. Baltar is a festival for emerging performance arts. Argos is an art center focusing on audiovisual discipline. Cinema is a house for amateur arts. Who else? Amateur arts.
Volta, I think.
And Volta is in Anderlecht, and they give residency space to musicians.
Yeah. So it's a super diverse. Multidisciplinary,
It's very eclectic because the pool of the associated artists that we have, they're also very eclectic. And they don't, like, for instance, the artist that I'm following up, Luca Fiagan, he's a performance artist, but he also makes music. And it's also a bit dated to really, you know, look at these disciplines as silos that don't interact. So we also wanted to let go of this very disciplinary thinking. We call ourselves a post-disciplinary organization. And so we wanted to make a network that embodied this as well. And so the organizations didn't necessarily know each other, didn't necessarily collaborate with each other. And so for Beurschapburg, as the one that took sort of initiative to bring these together, there's a lot of work being poured into making sure that the network is up and running. So we're the ones, you know, saying, okay, let's come together every 3 months to do on knowledge sharing, to also keep them in the loop about where our associated artists are in their process, but also to listen to these organizations and to listen to what their needs are. Like, for instance, Volta, for their musicians that they have in residency, they really want presentation platforms in the center of Brussels. And then we say, hey, okay, let's collaborate together. And so their artists are now being shown this spring in Beurschaburg, and in reverse, our associated artist Farida Amadou can have a residency space as Volta. So there's this reciprocity that's being fostered by talking to each other, and now it's quite formal in the sense that, you know, every 3 months we come together, but there's also a lot of informal ad hoc questions that we ask each other. We just call and ring each other up, and the other organizations do that now as well. So that's quite interesting that you first need a bit of a formal structure, and then you can let it go a little bit, and, you know, they have an afterlife informally as well.
It sounds, if I listen and I go like, well, it's so logical that this happens.
It doesn't happen.
And why only now? Or what has been in the way? Maybe in the past.
Maybe Ellen can talk about it. But I was very surprised when I was in the art sector, and I was like, let's meet up and let's talk and let's collaborate. And I don't know. You would think people do that naturally, but there's a hesitancy. I don't know.
You need time, and you need someone who does the gluing, who takes care of the glue. And then once people know each other, sometimes indeed you can let go a bit, but then there will come a time that you will have to bring it together again. So I think, you can think about these things to happen, and then you have to really work on it. Then you have to make a frame for it. Then people get to know it. Okay, things are running and it's going, and I'm listened to, and okay, we are sharing as equals here, and then they have trust in it, and then it grows. It's a bit funny because I was only yesterday we were talking about there is this big when an organization tries to get a financial director or an administrator, someone, you know, the job that combines a lot of things, and especially in small organizations, very very specific tasks. And we were thinking, it's so difficult to find people to do these jobs and to keep young people motivated to keep doing it without not sleeping at night anymore and really being stressed all over the time because, you cannot forget this and the application is that deadline, but you also have to do the bookkeeping and then, there's personnel, so you have contracts to make and, you know, all these different things coming together in these jobs. And we were also, how can we help our field to, what can we do? We were with other people in the same kind of functions. And it was also sharing knowledge, but on in a way that people can ask a question, not be afraid, have like a safe asking space, you know, like this little nest where you can go and not too big. So actually that's the solution, but the point is someone needs to invest time. Yeah. So then because we came to the point like, okay, are we now going to do that then? Are we going to make this kind of group and people can ask, like, you know? So this is, I think really, it is logical to collaborate and to that extent, but you have to incorporate it really in your daily your day-to-day business, basically, you know, and with putting the... No,
I was just going to add to maybe, I don't know, compared to 10, 15 years ago, there's a lot less competition amongst institutions and organizations. You know, back in the day, you had to have the premiere of that performing artist in your venue, and if someone else had it, then, you know, you'd be very angry. But I think we're letting go of that more and more. Some of it has to do with the scarcity of, there's less money to be allocated as well. So you have to also collaborate. You have to think of how can we join forces. So some of it is a bit that, but it's also a changing mentality, I hope. You know, like, we're not all in a big competition. No, we can reinforce each other. We can make each other stronger in a way.
And how, in this kind of changing, let's say, transition from a very competitive model to the more, not horizontal, but more collaborative one, what role do the artists play in that? Do you feel that there's sometimes people that come that they're annoyed because they wanted to have the premiere and they wanted also to be framed? Let's say we now use the word before, to be framed like that. Or do you feel that this movement is also coming like let's say bottom up, the people, like young artists, also have enough of that kind of competition? Like, how do you?
I think it's both. I was talking to an artist who mentioned a name of another artist, and he said, "Oh yeah, but this artist is having a premiere in," and then he stopped, and I was like, "Oh, where?" Like, yeah, I don't know if I can say where the premiere is. I don't know. I feel so. He was very. He just stopped in his tracks, and he was afraid to say it. And then eventually, we found out that the organization he didn't want to mention already had told me that the premiere was happening there. So, and when I said that, oh, but it's happening in La Balzamine. Okay, no problem. I already know. You could see like sort of relief coming over himself. Like, yeah. Ah, okay. So I don't know. There's this huge like. Yeah, if I say something wrong to one organization, then they're going to be angry. And I feel like artists have enough of that already. I mean, there's enough stress. They don't need the added stress of organizations competing each other. And the more we let go of that, the more they can also be at ease. So this was the case with one specific artist. But I think in artist communities as well, there is a more collaborative way of thinking and working together, and that influences organizations as well. So there are more and more artists saying, hey, you know, all this bickering and fighting, stop it. We just want to do our work. This is how we do it. We're sharing funds, we're sharing resources, and that also has an influence on how we collaborate.
And does it have influence on the public side? Because I think that's like, the public always seems to be the pressure of, you know, getting enough public, being there, being being present, being in the press, like all that pressure that comes then again from subsidizers that want numbers. Is there any issue there that you see, okay, the collaborative thing, the going slower, the taking more time, it's all very beautiful, but in the end we need the ticketing income, or do you feel that comes along with the...
I mean, this residency program that we worked out has no impact on audience numbers whatsoever. It's not going to translate in more revenue for us or anything. It's just because we see it as our responsibility to help emerging and less emerging artists, make it or be supported. So it comes from more of responsibility than really audience numbers. But we don't have to be silly about it as well. I mean, there is a demand from the Flemish government to have our own eigen inkomsten. So that's, you know, through ticketing, through bar revenue, through hall rental. It's true. It's there. But I think it's our responsibility to not let that take the overhand as well in how we work. I mean, God forbid,
that's,
if we only
strong,
think...
because it's not so obvious also, like in the system that we work in.
We're not an event space. We're an art center, you know? There's still a difference.
That's good, yeah. If I would like to keep it short, because if there are people already now that would like to intervene or just participate in the discussion, please do, because Ellen has to leave quite early, so... If you feel like already asking questions or wanting us to go to another direction, please indicate that. Yes?
I'll speak up, maybe that's good enough. Mm-hmm. Or should I go up? If I understood right, this constellation also works such that if any of the organizations has, for instance, need of the knowledge that, for instance, a financial director has, they can ask for it. I don't know if how long the system already functions, but if it does already for a little bit, how does that kind of sharing resources work? Because everybody has a busy agenda, including Gerstauber or including Level 5.
We just started. But indeed, first of all, I want to say that this also, even for people already working long in this kind of position, still things to learn, actually. So when we were thinking of, okay, we have a certain budget for the residents and they know how they're going to be paid and everything, but it might not be enough for what they want to do on the long run. I also called and we had a talk with Heroes, because like project funding for me was already, you know, was a bit in the past, you know, I did it, but it was a long time ago. And so we just checked again, and why would you go for this kind of funding and not another one? Because what kind of a consequence does it have on possibly other projects you have running? So, I mean, this sharing of knowledge goes both ways. And then when it comes to the artists, there's some of them very interested, and it, that also depends, of course, but they're very interested in finding out more about how do I actually calculate my fee? I mean, how do you do that? And what is it? What is that, a collective labor agreement? And I find that very interesting to see. And I also, for me, and together with the people of Heroes, we are now thinking of how can we share this knowledge, not all at once, but in a way that, you know, they can also process that, you find the right tools to make things, yeah, understandable. I don't want to, like, I don't want to make people small, just to be clear, but... yeah, there's some technicalities that you have to know and understand, and but it's possible to learn, you know. And so we're now looking up things, we're sharing things on the drive, we're like emailing some information, then things come back, then we have to find out, okay, what are now the most important topics to work around. We'll organize an open office, and it has to grow like that. So for me, it is the assignment to, in my agenda, every 2 weeks have, like, you know, this hour or hour or two to, like, think what can we now do on that topic for the in the residency activities. So time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that an answer to your question, actually? Yeah. Follow it up. Exactly. Yeah. But you have to know that you have to know that this is really something that starts to live not only in Beurschoburg. There's also organizations that give support to organizations where we also talk with, who also have means and are responsible, actually, also to find these tools and to develop things and to have these conversations much closer to the artists than what they sometimes are at this point. So that's, they're also, like, you know, sharing this thing towards them as well, because we have those contacts, of course, and to make them understand that what you're doing now is great, but it's not good enough because it doesn't reach enough the people who need the information, or it's not enough translated into a real practice.
It's maybe not... a question, just a remark, in the sense, like this morning, speaking with Ishwantu and on the practice of Ruang Grupa, the word resistance fell. And discussing Lumbung and collective practices in relation to the Documenta infrastructure, there's still a lot of negotiation going on. So when you apply the word resistance to a kind of bureaucratic model that is put on top of all of us, we're expected to understand that bureaucratic model and apply it to our practice. Is there a way that we can consider resisting some of it? Because I do understand, of course, the value of accounting, of being responsible for public money. I totally subscribe to that. But it feels like we have to speak bureaucratic language, and bureaucratic language refuses, basically, to learn our language. So I was looking for a midway or a kind of way to break the circle and think about this resistance notion. So maybe you can elaborate on that.
Very interesting. Thank you for asking that.
Where to begin? that's really the question that I'm asking myself, where to begin? And... we had discussions about resisting when we had to make a Blätzplan, and when the first sort of advices of the commissions were clear, and we tried to sort of find common ground amongst organizations. No, this can't be, let's find solidarity and let's resist. And in the beginning, there was a lot of enthusiasm, but then you saw the numbers dwindling down and down and down. So resisting, yes, but if we're the only ones resisting then, and no one is there with us, then we just look stupid. So, you know, where is the solidarity and resistance goes hand in hand. So I just come to the conclusions that when push comes to shove, when it's time to resist, there's no one there. And that's a shame. That's a pity. And so how can you sort of start to change that frame? That's the million-dollar question.
Oh, that's a dialogue. That's the dialogue.
It's a dialogue. But we did a lot of talking and dialoguing. But then, eventually, you know? And you see it time and time again. So there is a structural change that needs to happen there as well.
Maybe I can add, I mean, I think for us now, and the assignment that I see for myself, let's say, is in the first place, make the framework understandable. And then we can see if we can resist and in what way.
But start there, yeah.
I don't know, Ronnie, this is maybe very disappointing for you. I don't know if that is not a dialogue, because the smarter you get in these kind of things, the more questions you have, and that can be very interesting questions for people like me, let's say, things I have maybe never thought about. And so, yeah, for me, sharing the knowledge goes both ways, you know? So
you can say something. Say something. But I was just my reaction would also be like, how we then do start organizing that resistance, and where do we find the time to do that?
I do have
and it's a priority.
Yeah,
probably.
It has to begin with structures that incorporate different organizations, like Brussels Kunstoverleg and BKO, that represents organizations. If they take a stance, then individual organizations feel more comfortable, taking a stance as well. So it has to start at that level, and then it can dwindle down. But
we definitely also have a role, I think, that we also see.
Yeah. Also, and OCO, of course, plays a central role.
And we can make the agenda there, that's true. But, you know, it's also sometimes a pity that there's often only, you know, administrative people around the table there. And then we try to find our input.
But OCO?
So, yeah, I enjoyed very much the question, like, well, I asked myself where to start, because it's indeed such a good question. And then the dialogue in combination with that, and what kind of dialogue, and how verbal, and how discursive, and how meta, or maybe how integrated and almost like practice protocol formatted it becomes, like you saying, well, let's start to make work seen that is not so easily visible. That's actually an immense statement. And so I just enjoy that we are finally talking about how to bring that change from a not so meta perspective. But back to the administrators at OCO.
I would like to come back to the word resistance, because there is something also to resist that means that will last a bit longer. And so I think what you do is really important this is something that this is how we try is in the contracts somehow. So the fact that you create a new kind of dependencies, because this is what we're talking about, that also what happened in the Flemish community is also, the resistance stopped at the moment that people would need the money to pay the rents and who can afford to resist somehow, and so how you can resist. This is also the term resistance. This is something that resistance begins when it enters really the core relationships and business, I don't know, but yeah, of the practice. It's not only the fights on the barricades that can be this, okay, and the next day. So it's really this kind of resistance. And also, I think you mentioned the effect. So the beauty that you build relationships that will resist also in time when the next wave will come. And so I think the combinations of but the combination of effect and contracts, it's for me, and what's interesting in the previous movies was the visibility of interdependencies. And so, because of course I'm, the lady with the dog, I discussed accountability as, for me to welcome the dog as director of the place, that means that I have the responsibility for the dog. So I depend on the dog for the moment. It's super nice. It's no joke, because it's the interdependence, and I guess the people have been through Documenta, the codependency with a poison, how we create to resist the disease is to swallow the poison a bit, or not. Sorry, just to support you, so in this resistance, because to be heroic in the fight and die after, thank you, no way. It's to resist the fight and go on after. So I think the micro, it's not so micro, but what you are weaving, it's this combination of effect and contracts, plus also the organizations. I don't know how to, the text, I don't know if I'm clear, the textile that it's create can resist the next wave or not. But I think this combination is, the male, they want us to die in the fight on the barricades, we have other ways.
I thank you so much, Laurence, because I think that is very essential to also make visible that effort. Sorry. Hi. Hello. I said that I guess that in what Laurence is saying also, that it's also very important to make visible that effort that you're doing. I mean, it's about very different things, about connection, but also be proud of it, show it, mm-hmm. and make it into a statement that is then being able not to whitewash greenwash or to fairwash, whatever you do, but to really also make it into something that other people can start identifying with. Mm-hmm. So I think with a lot of the resistance that we try to build up was very invisible, as such as invisible work. So we have to make, maybe you can say something to that, how you make it visible apart from the program that is quite obviously resisting.
Looking at my clock.
You have to probably go. Yeah. Super sorry, but with all respect to your duties.
Thank you, Ellen.
As a mom.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming. We'll hang on 5 more minutes here.
How to make visible the invisible labor that you put into the interrelational the interdependence collectives that you built up? Is that the question?
It's just about that you can do things and then do it inside, but I guess it's without putting it all in the papers, it's good that people know about mm-hmm. that policy, that resistance that you. So that was my question, like how visible is that within the policy, or do you speak to politicians about it, or do you speak to your colleagues about it, or do you bring it this kind of formats into an OCO, which is an organization for the arts, meetings where people might don't want to hear about it, or you can say, you know, this is what we do. Like how, uh-huh. Yeah, how do you voice it?
Well, Beurtschap prides itself in being the leus in the bells. How do you translate that? Fly in the ointment, or like a little pebble in your shoe. Of like always, you know, speaking up and taking a stance. And I hope and I think that the artistic team, the entire team and myself try to incorporate that as well during meetings with OCO, during meetings with BKO and conversations with politicians. Like, for instance, Volta was on the brink of disappearing because they were going to lose their space. So what I try to do when I lobby for Beurskapurik is also mention Volta and mention other organizations that are in precarious situations to always, yeah, to speak up, you know. Speaking is very important. Speaking subject, that's all we have, language. So yeah, you have to use it. Yeah, so I try to do that. Yeah, and with the constellation also, we try to talk about it, because the more you talk about it and the more you make it visible, the more accountability there is, also the more care you have for this collective, because, you know, people are asking you about it as well, like, oh, how's the constellation going? Did you speak about this and that? So it's also a matter of being accountable to each other.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds like a very good thing to do. I'm looking in the public if there's Kathleen, you want to ask something.
Yeah, just a small example from yesterday when Ruan Grupa was speaking. They said, yeah, in Documenta, the last Documenta 15, there had been a new law installed that the people couldn't take out the money, the budget, out of Germany, because in the former Documenta, they had spent so much money in Athens and they were so much in debt and so on, so that became a law. But then Ruan Grupa could work through months and months of negotiation that it became possible again. Maybe we have to ask them how they did it, what the arguments were. One of the arguments were, of course, COVID, and then many people, Indonesia and other places, became very precarious and life became really difficult, so they really needed it to just survive. So that's a big argument, of course. But so they said it is possible to even change these laws or all these regulations. So, yeah, I guess that's an interesting example to try it.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, leverage, if you're a lot of people sort of fighting for the same cause, then you amplify your demand and your question, you heighten the chances of achieving a certain goal.
Yeah, because that was something that struck me yesterday in the talk that the artist, I think it was Reem, that said, you know, you can bend rules, and the power of 1,000 artists wanting to bend a rule. So this is basically the next question. I mean, posted before, like, how do we empower, yeah, and like strengthen that form of resistance? And how do you, as an art institution, deal with that, with your responsibility being there between the field and the government that might want things differently? Because this is another thing that bureaucracy is almost faster than we can change the rules. Like, that is what every time you say, okay, you make a step into, you know, widening this space, then there's something happening and woof, you're back to zero. So do you have experiences there, or do you already have or from a past maybe situation where you say, I know that and I know how to deal with it, or I know how to handle that, and are you prepared to do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, bureaucracies and administration can be very scary, can be very daunting. They're very stressful. I think a lot of artists deal with the sort of, the fear of like, oh my God, bureaucracy, and I still have to do my taxes and all this stress. In terms of bending the rules, I had a whole train of thought in my mind and then I lost it. So bureaucracy is scary. That's where I started. I found it scary as well because all of a sudden I was director of an art institute and we had to write a beleidsplan and there's all these rules and regulations. And one of them is you have to have 20% own revenue, eigen inkomsten, so through ticket income or bar income and rental. And it's written there 20%. And then once you talk about it to people, they say, yes, 20%. But, you know, you can always motivate it if you don't get it. You know, there's always ways to sort of bend the rule a little bit. And then, okay, a sort of relief came over me, like, okay, we can aim for it, but if we don't get it, then there's always a sort of way that you can explain it and motivate it. And that was comforting in a way. I think what we can do, institutions for artists, is bring this comfort to them by supporting them and by saying, hey, we know this and this and this is demanded, but, you know, there are ways to sort of bend the rules a little bit or motivate it. And I think that's what we do with the associated artists as well. Like when we're preparing project subsidies, we sort of stand in for them and say, hey, you don't have to bear the responsibility or the blunt of everything. We're there also to support you, so to empower them a little bit so that they don't find it so scary and so daunting anymore. Because it is true, you can bend it, but an organization has more margin or more space to bend the rules than an individual artist.
Yeah, and even 20 or 100 institutions together even have more power, yes, to bend it or to get rid of it, yeah, in the whole. So this is what I think that's the responsibility of the institutions and that layer of, yeah, the field, that they go one step higher. You can comfort the people that, yeah, suffer, but you also have to be able to see towards a future or to work towards a future where this doesn't need to be done
indeed
anymore, kind of.
To sort of undermine it for the future, yeah, as well. Yeah. And I think, you know, we see bureaucracies, we see rules, and we see them as natural, but they're not natural. They're based on choices and policies, and they can be changed, yes, as well. Yeah.
I think this is a nice statement. Is there anyone who wants to add to it? Because otherwise we take a little break and we would come back to the... yes. They don't bite.
Hello. I also find, I'm a performer, and sometimes I also find it very difficult to reach big institution in communication. So I often let go and don't do anymore. For this reason, I'm also part of a little collective that share a space. But so just to mention, I also try to get in communication with some institutions and I never get back answer. So sometimes also for me, I take this as a chance to really understand and ask you in person how we can, for example, if we need if a performer need really a space to where to prepare a performance and he doesn't find any space available, how can reach you, because it happens, for example, to me, and I tried. So since I'm part of this collective, I have a space shared with other people, but at that moment, since we collaborate with the occupations, the space was not there anymore possible to be used. We had to move, and we didn't had. But I had to prepare a performance for Tunnel, for To Be Antwerp. And I was in panic, so I write to a lot of friends and also in eventually I write also to a lot of institutions, Berskeberg, Brigittine, Balsamine, a lot of people. I was crazy. And in the end, nobody answered me. And I also, in the end, I find through this network of really low people, artists coming really from more down, downwards. Groups that works more in autonomies. In the end, I used this this space from Maybom, yes. And so, yeah, sometimes also for us it's very difficult to understand how we, if we are really in need, how we solve the problems. It's true that bureaucratically we need a lot of help. I'm trying to get my artistic statute now and I go crazy, but in a way, sometimes also the need is also more basic and more primer. And even in that basic level, sometimes we don't manage to communicate. So it's just a question of how we can actually open a communication from basic needs. I also understand the fact that it's not about programming whoever has an idea. And I think that is also important that you evaluate who you want to program according to the theme that you are more that you want to fight for. But sometimes in the art world it's quite difficult to resist, like we said, because it's often you think, okay, it's too difficult, I give up, I will not continue to do art, it's too difficult.
Thank you. It's a huge question, how to deal with space. Buurtgebeurtenissen, so we're mostly a presenting house. So residencies, we don't normally do that. We could experiment with that a little bit during COVID because our calendar was empty and we had space and a lot of artists were still looking for spaces. So we gave them 2 weeks residencies, a week residency here and there. That was possible. Now with the activities up and running again, it's way more complicated because we present work, artists need to rehearse. A lot of artists want technical residencies as well, so our technical team needs to work. So it's a lot of balancing, it's a lot of parameters to look at. So we do get quite a bit of questions from the artist communities and we can't always accommodate them. That's one thing. And I think we also made a choice whether we either we help a lot of artists with a lot of small interventions here and there, or we take a small group of artists and we help them in a more profound, a more in-depth way, and we go all out for these artists that we then, you know, found through an open call. And so that's the choice we made. We chose the latter, which in a way is also a pity because, you know, you want to help everyone, but I'd rather help, you know, now 8 artists in 5 years very intensely and in a more meaningful way than giving surface level support here and there in a very random way. So that's always the sort of choice you have to make as an institution.
But I also feel that maybe I interpreted in the wrong way, but also that you feel that like it talks about some kind of inaccessibility. That I also, as an artist, I even posted like a physical letter to the person, and I never got a response.
Oh, really? When was this?
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But maybe it has changed, but it's just like something that as an artist, to also be able to feel home.
Yeah.
At an institution where you are not having a trajectory, just as being an artist, being in some way home in a place, I also don't always feel this way. And it's not, I don't think it's a problem because it cannot be home for everybody, but I do feel some kind of similar question mark because we are having a very abstract conversation in a sense, but there's also like a very concrete feeling of feeling welcome somewhere or not.
And is it like it's inaccessible? I don't know how to sort of get access inside this.
Yeah,
what's the feeling?
The right to a coffee, you know?
Uh-huh. Like where to, until what can I go, or can I ask for a coffee with the programmer? Or?
Yeah, something mm-hmm. like this. Like it's really weird, but in the Netherlands, if I send a mail, I always will almost always get a talk. I will get a coffee, and they will not program me. But at least I met them. And like this first conversation, I didn't find the possibility to have this.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, yeah. Now I didn't try it.
I think the minimum should be a coffee. I mean, I'm all for.
It will probably take. I'm sorry, we have a program to go. Yeah.
One more thing.
Yeah. Okay.
One more thing,
and
then I take the mic, actually.
That's actually complimentary.
It's we're working with an Italian organization which is running a former monastery as a commons, and there is no programming. There is only a space, and they divide space upon demand. And there is only a few rules of selection, so can it be a political program? There's a number of really practical rules, cannot be racist, sexist, etc. All of these, let's say, totally normal stuff. But it's just distributing space for performer artists, for musicians. And so it has no programming, it's just offering the space. And it is supported by the commune of Naples, of any commune, and it's run by a group of people that try to run this space as a commons. We will hopefully in the near future go there to do a summer school. We've been working with them for a while, but I just wanted to mention that's a spatial form or a format that in our country does not seem to be very present in a way. You know, these open structures that basically offer utility, basically.
I'm also part of Artist Commons, and we are functioning as commons.
Exactly.
It's just that we are always working as a, there is always a problem of where we work, because often we work with a temporary occupation and when we don't have the space. For this reason, why I get to Artist Commons, why I want to be part of that, because I it's too difficult to reach the institution and wait for that to start to move my art or. There are a lot of people in that situation, and it's normal, it's like this, it's not a critique, but it's also a reality. And yeah,
it's called competition.
In a way, competition, but also, yeah, there is...
Collaboration, you had your own
it's also about choosing, for me it goes beyond also the coffee. It's also go with the, I don't want to, of course, have all the, I as a community, a lot of people like me, they don't want necessary to be programmed, or maybe yes, in the dream, but maybe we need just to have a result, to have a kind of link, and the resistance is also that. I don't pretend that we take a coffee and we speak about when I can get programmed in Bosca Bogor, in Brigittine, or another beautiful venue. But maybe if you receive an email, also the institution, I expect in this hypothetical world that resists in art, I expect that we can arrive to a moment where Bosca Bogor, or Brigittine, or whatever. Can answer saying, we don't have at the moment space, but maybe you can find a space there or here. And actually, I can find this type of communication, but always in other spaces like Mabon or Level 5 also. And it's just I want to point out, because I think since it's very beautiful what we are organizing here, I also think it's maybe a point to
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Maybe we make a point now by concluding also that I guess the and we saw the notion of the ecosystem, and I think there is something about the transparency of the ecosystem, and there are places and there are responsibilities that has to be taken, and I guess that's the collective resistance that we have to organize, is to plea for spaces like you call, because indeed an institution might not be the right body to answer your needs, but others are. And I think there's huge, especially in Brussels, there's a huge responsibility with the authorities to take care of space. They're working on it, but it's very, very, very slow. And I guess at the Commons, like we see it in Belgrade, or we see it in Naples, or in lots of other spaces, is an option and should be considered and quite fast actually. And I guess that is where my question was towards you, like what is then your role in a conversation like that? And I guess that there is where the resistance starts to connect those voices that can plea in the end for what is needed. Ah, that was a mouthful. We go to the next. I mean, we're not done yet. I'm so happy that we're still so numbered here. And the next topic would be a topic with, 5 minutes break, and then we'll talk about money, which is very interesting. Yes.
Very impressive.
Then we'll talk about money.